Thanks, Radio's Bob Kessler. Hi, everybody. It's Bill and it's Wendy. Welcome to the show. It's Friday and we're in love. You know what, Wendy? I'm tired of hearing people say that no team has ever come back from an 0-4 deficit and won the Stanley Cup. I'm tired of hearing that.
Well, A, that's not true. There have been four teams that have done that.
That have been down 0-4 and have come back?
Yes, but our Blackhawks, not one of them.
Just so you know, that's impossible.
Nothing's impossible.
You can't from 0-4. What do you think happened?
Here are some observations.
Oh, spoiler alert for people who don't know, the Blackhawks did not win last night. And thus, the season has ended.
There's a lot of anger out there against the Blackhawks. And I'm not feeling the anger.
I'm not feeling any anger.
I'm feeling heartbroken.
Disappointment and heartbreak. You're right.
I'm not mad at them.
No.
Watching Jonathan Toews talk afterwards, it was that made me want to cry. He looked like he was going to cry.
I couldn't once the game ended. I could not watch another second. I was too emotional. What did he say in his post game comments?
Just basically, they thought that they could pull it together. They thought there was some button they could hit, and that button was never hit. I'm paraphrasing.
I thought Quenneville's comments were.
He was mad.
What did he say? Angry?
He said something about, like, if, you know, you have to elevate your game, and when you can't get your players to elevate your game for the playoffs, I take it personally.
Wow. Yes. That was...
Ouch. That
yeah,
hurts.
I mean, all right, watching the game, I thought, you know, and maybe this is wanting more than actually observing, yeah. I thought they looked pretty good in the first period, like, okay, maybe they're coming back. Second period, I thought, this is it. They've got it going on. They were working some plays, but it seems like, and I put this on my Facebook page and everybody got mad at me because of the Blackhawks. I think that Nashville got, they had a lot of luck on their side between calls, between pucks bouncing funny. They were the better team.
To win, you need a combination of both luck and skill.
Absolutely.
They had both.
They did.
They played really well.
They did.
And things did go their way.
They outplayed us. Yeah. And I got to tell you, they had the speed. And I know they weren't great during the season. We were great for a while.
Right.
But you know what? It ebbs and flows. And they were on fire.
Could it be that the color that they wear is just so distracting?
It is the ugliest color. And don't make the helmets that color. The gold helmets, you look stupid.
It's a color that if I had that color crayon, I would take it out of the box and put it in a drawer. And I would go, I'm never going to use this color. It's too distracting. I think the Blackhawks were distracted by their hideous color. That's what I think it was.
It was hideous. And Pekka, I swear to God.
He was like a magician for four straight games. He had never won in his career. He had never won four games in a row. So the timing on this was not really good for us, for him to finally win those four games in a row. And like I said the other day, I can't remember the Blackhawks. Now, this makes it eight losses in a row, four regular season games and four playoff games. I was six, I think, the last time that happened. I don't remember the last time they lost eight games in a row. So people always talk about the timing of, you know, you want to be at your best when the playoffs start, and they kind of limped into the playoffs a little bit. With those four straight losses and then the four losses in the playoffs.
It just seemed like Nashville is quicker than us.
But not normally. They're not.
This was their ebb.
Yeah.
Or is it a flow?
No, it was their ebb from Green Acres. Hey, Mr. Douglas.
I just, I noticed every time, and poor Patrick Kane was trying, but he had three guys on him at every moment. In fact, it seemed like any time we had the puck, there were three Preds there all the time, yet they were able to get back down to score. They're faster.
Here's something I noticed, and not just in this series, but this is, if you watch a lot of hockey, and we've been watching a lot of hockey, this is what you notice. And everybody in hockey says this. You want to get guys in front of the net, because when you get guys in front of the net, they always say good things happen, like goals, for instance.
Unless Pecorine's in the goal.
Right. All right, so I noticed that any time the puck was in the Hawks' zone, all right, I'm trying to figure out how to best illustrate this. They always had guys in front of the net, always.
Honestly, I'm telling you, it seemed like offensively, yes, but even defensively, they had people like in the goal next to Pekka Rinne.
Just in case.
And there was no way to penetrate that.
Right. So why would the Hawks normally know this, put men in front of the net? You got to have guys in front of the net to get your occasional rebound and stuff. But for some reason in the series, that's just what every time they showed it, I go, there's not a Blackhawk anywhere near the front of the net. Where are they?
And can I say, there is no rebound with Pekka-Rinne. He absorbs that puck.
Right.
You know, when you shoot it, a lot of times you can score on a rebound. There was no rebound.
He's like one of the X-Men. He's got the ability to absorb the puck.
We looked up some statistics last night because I notice it makes me very nervous when Corey Crawford plays out of the net so far. It makes me crazy.
But Pekka-Rinne
is in the net.
Not always. There were a couple times they even said he plays like an extra defenseman. Like he plays out
I noticed
deep in
that.
The ice.
But when the puck is approaching him, he is he's in a cage.
Yeah.
Corey is so far out there and, you know, we looked up the height because it's like, you know, who's taller, Corey or Pekka-Rinne? I don't know how tall Corey is, but Pekka is 6'5".
That's a tall Pekka.
But
I say that with respect.
But he's still so in that net, and there were no rebounds. He absorbed everything, and he kicked ass ice.
Yeah, Yeah, so why be angry when
heartbroken,
disappointed? That makes more sense.
And who of the big names will not be on the roster next year?
Oh,
that's
don't
what worries.
Say that.
Well, come on.
Oh, I don't want to lose anybody else.
It's bad enough, you know, they lost the first round. They were swept.
I know.
It's bad.
And scored hardly any goals. And the one stat that was said yesterday, I don't know if you heard this, but toward the end of the game, they started talking about gambling because, you know, at some point there was some time to fill. So they said, you know, who would have thought, I think Pat Foley said this, who would have made the bet that the Bulls would be in the playoffs longer than the Blackhawks, which is sad but true. Nobody would have. And then the other one was, who would have made the bet, I think they said the odds would have been something like 1,000 to 1, but I think even longer, that the goalie for Nashville, that's your Pekka-Rinne, would score as many points as anybody on the Blackhawks. Only Patrick Kane had, I think, 2 points in the whole series. And Pekka-Rinne also had 2 points, 2 assists.
It makes me want to vomit.
It doesn't make, the numbers don't add up.
And, you know, Jonathan Toews, they made a big deal that he hasn't scored in postseason, or was it the last 13 games? This is the first time in 13 postseason games. Is that what they are saying?
I can't remember.
Or the
how
last
long.
13 games. But, you know, that made me feel good. Duncan Keith did a great check, and it was totally legal. And I thought, this is it. This is the spark they need to get them going. And it did seem to spark them for a little bit.
Yeah.
And, you know, I know they were outplayed by Nashville. It makes me mad. I hate the gold. I hate the fans. They seem so jerky. I'm...
I know. It's emotionally draining.
It really is. And I'm not mad at you, Blackhawks.
You can't stay mad at them.
But, all right, know how we feel right now? Imagine how they feel.
I always
wonder. It's embarrassing.
Like, when you lay down at the end of the day after that, I wouldn't be able to sleep. I was having a hard time sleeping after the game anyway. I was just like, oh, what if this had happened? What if they had done more of this, a little less of this? But if you're on the team, it's got to eat you up.
There were a couple of times they looked good and they were cycling through and setting up a play.
Right.
And if it didn't work, they'd regroup and bring it back and do it again. But for the most part, in my opinion, as a fan watching them, there was no congruency. They didn't look like they were flowing and working as a team.
And oddly, that's exactly what made them win so many games through the season, was the combination of the younger guys and the older guys working together, figuring out how to get the puck in. It just didn't happen at all this week.
Not a lot of working together, and looked a lot more like they're just reacting to what's happening. It was hard for them to set up a play and get it going.
I know.
Still love you. I'm going to wear my sweater. I hate saying sweater because it's a jersey.
Mm-hmm.
It's not wool anymore.
Right.
I'm still a fan. I'm not going to bitch at you.
Get a wool jersey and see how that feels. It'll be itchy, but...
No. I'm not doing anything.
All right. We've got other sad things to discuss today. If you want to be sad with us, we're 312-981-7200. It's a sad version of the Bill and Wendy Show.
We're talking about our Chicago Blackhawks, and I was telling Bill off the air that even Coach Q didn't seem filled with rage as you looked at him during the game. It's almost like he knew it wasn't going to happen.
It would have been a misplaced rage because there was just no time in the whole 4-game series that they just seemed to have the Blackhawk magic. It just wasn't there for some reason. I don't know why. It just wasn't.
Mike wants to jump in. Hi, Mike. Sorry for your loss.
Hey, good morning, guys. Hey, you know what? Let's be thankful. I'm going to say two things here, guys. I'm a Chicago sports fan, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Look at the Bulls. Now, we only had two dynasties in the history of Chicago sports. The dynasties were the Chicago Bulls and the Blackhawks.
Right.
The Bulls have been great for about the last 8 or 9 years. Before the 2010 championship, they were a dynasty for, I mean, like almost a decade here. They were up and coming, and they won the first Stanley Cup in 2010. And it's been great. I mean, they have, you know, they won three of them, and they just had great years here. And but let's face the facts, guys, okay? The Bulls had to dismantle after Jordan retired, and it's going to come to an end, okay? Like anything, it comes to an end, and I think we're facing this right now. We slowly have seen the demise of the Blackhawks. We lost Andrew Shaw. We lost a couple of other big-name guys. They brought back Oduya, but Oduya is just a shell of his old self. And we're looking at guys. Hossa's very old. Hossa's got to be close
to kicked
retirement.
Ass last night. Hossa had some great plays last night. He looked great. Duncan
did,
Keith
but
looked great.
They did, guys, but let's just face the facts. They're just getting old, and they were outplayed by this young, hungry team. Arnold Schwarzenegger once said in the making of the movie, you know, of his movie that he had, not his movie, but his documentary, Pumping Iron, okay?
Yeah.
He said that the line at the top is hungry, but the ones coming up the hill are hungrier.
Yeah.
If he's at the top, he has to defend his food. So, I mean, the bottom line is, guys, these teams that haven't won yet are hungrier. And when you've won, like the core of these guys have won, it's just not in there. But I appreciate the time, and have a great day. Thanks.
Thank you, Mike.
Thank you, Mike.
For calling and for quoting the great prophet, Arnold Schwarzenegger. but they I mean, look what the Blackhawks have done. They had six or seven guys, young guys this year, infusing new blood into the team. That's just the cycle of the way a sports team works is you keep the core guys, and the Blackhawks have an incredible array of core guys. Yeah, they're getting older, but the older means they're in their mid to late 20s. I mean, yeah, Marian Hossa is older. There's a couple guys that are older.
He did fine last night, though.
He had a great – he had a 30-plus goal season. He did okay last night. He did fine last night. You can't pin anything on the age of Marian Hossa. I mean, he's still – I would take him any day of the week on my team. I wouldn't say no to Marian Hossa.
Johnny Oduya has some great washboard abs, and I know he came back.
And you should get points for that.
Well, he didn't wow me.
No.
I got to be honest with you.
But Johnny Oduya is never going to be the guy that the fortunes of a team will never rise or fall on his shoulders. He's just one of the guys.
That's true. And as you know, when Mike said Andrew Shaw left, that's not why we lost.
But I loved Andrew
Shaw. I did too when he was on our team.
But he was replaced by Ryan Hartman, who had honestly a better season. The playoffs are a slightly different animal, a very short four-game mini season. But through the season, mm-hmm. Ryan Hartman's numbers easily stood up to those of Andrew Shaw's.
It's a team effort, and that's what has made the Blackhawks excel for all these seasons,
sure.
Was the team effort. And I didn't see the team effort last night.
No, not
through this whole series. I have not.
Week. Yeah, I know.
It's sad.
It is very sad. But they'll be okay. They'll figure out what went wrong. They'll plug the holes.
And right. Some people won't return, I'm fearful.
Oh, that's a given. There will be some that will not return, and that's unfortunate.
Ruined my weekend.
Sorry. All right, we will take a break. We'll have some
pudding. We'll try and rebuild.
Yeah, everything will be fine. I wish Bob Kessler were here to give the news. That always cheers people up.
He'll be back.
Yeah? All right.
As Arnold once said.
Right. This is the great Arnold Schwarzenegger once said. All right, stick around. There's a lot more coming next. Bill and Wendy, WGN. Thank you, Bob.
I'm feeling better. I'm not as depressed because are you noticing it's starting to smell like summer?
Yeah, it is, isn't it?
You breathe in outside and
yeah.
It smells a little green.
Yeah, it's
everything's coming.
Going to be okay. I know last night was a little bit of a setback in terms of us enjoying ourselves. I get that. But everything's going to be okay. The
You've
weather's getting nicer.
Pumped me up.
There's flowers everywhere you look outside.
Bill gave me a pep talk during the...
I had to give you a little pep talk.
So thank you for that.
Did it work?
Yes.
I'm glad to hear it worked.
Happy Friday, everybody.
You know, You saw this. Donald Trump became the president of the United States, Wendy. He was elected in November, and then they gave him an inauguration party, and now he's the president.
Well, the best part of it is seeing him hanging with Sarah Palin and Ted Nugent and Kid Rock. That, honestly, that now that's my America. That's how you make America great again, if you want to know the truth. Wango tango.
We had a velvet version of that picture hung in our dining room last night. Giant version of that picture. That's an interesting photograph. Now, if something good came, and a lot of people find good things that came out of Donald Trump's being voted in as president. I'm not one of them, but some people found good things. But then there is one good thing, and that's that we don't have to deal with Billy Bush anymore.
Billy Bush is pretty annoying.
I don't like to take full credit for this, but I'm going to take partial credit. There was a time where I would say to people, and nobody would listen to me, they'd go, Billy Bush, he's adorable, that Billy Bush. He's just a little news cutie, is Billy Bush.
A news cutie? Yeah, Who said that?
People would say he's a news cutie.
Yeah.
And I always looked at Billy Bush as one of the three heads of vanilla.
The other ones being, can I guess?
Yeah. It's the three-headed monster of vanilla in the media. So who would they be?
Seacrest.
Billy Bush, Ryan Seacrest.
I can't think of his name.
Carson Daly.
Yes, thank
you. Carson Daly. Those are the three guys that every time they're on anything, I say to myself, what sort of deal with the devil did this guy make to become famous? I don't understand. So now we don't have to worry about Billy Bush anymore, right? He's gone thanks to the audio tape or videotape with Trump. Except, no, he's back.
He is? He got a job?
He didn't get a job yet, but there is a video circulating of Billy Bush getting a haircut in which he's singing a song explaining that he wants to come back to TV. Can we just play? I guess we could play all of it. It's only a couple seconds long, but it will seem like an eternity. I will warn you of that right now. If you have to be anywhere between now and the end of eternity, you're in trouble because this will seem like you're going to be late for your appointment. Listen to this. This is Billy Bush singing the praises of him wanting to be back on television.
Look at me. I'm Billy B. Trying to get back on TV. My hair's long and flat, and it makes me look fat. And I can't be. I'm Billy B. She's gonna be me.
I almost threw up, I swear to God.
I had to watch that three different times.
Why?
I saw it the first time accidentally, because I just clicked on it, and I went, well, let's see what this is. And then the second time was to see if I really saw what I thought I saw, because I thought I couldn't have seen Billy Bush getting a haircut, videotaping his own haircut and singing a song while getting his haircut. And then the third was just to cut it, you know, to have it ready the times for the show. So, disturbing on many counts. I guess on one of the ladies' talk shows yesterday, so that would either be The Talk or The View, they had a roundtable discussion on whether or not Billy Bush will ever be employed again. I think at some point he will probably be employed again, not by the Today Show or anything major like he was. He was Access Hollywood in the Today Show, right?
I believe you're correct, sir.
Those two? So I don't think he'll ever have that high of a position again, but he'll get work somewhere. But I never understood the appeal of that guy at all. Zero.
I didn't either. However, I have to tell you, I don't feel he deserved to lose his job. All he was doing was laughing at a guy who they were both trying to impress each other.
Can I tell you, until last night, I had always heard excerpts of that conversation.
Mm-hmm.
And for people who don't know, Donald Trump was set to be a guest star on some soap opera. I don't remember which soap opera. So Billy Bush and the gang followed him on the bus trip. They followed him all day. It was going to be Donald Trump's day on a soap opera. So that was going to be the story. So then they have that discussion, the two of them, about women and the way women...
And grabbing them when you want them,
right,
kind of thing.
Right. There's a woman who works for the soap opera company that was serving as their liaison. Her job was to get Donald Trump off the bus and into the makeup room where they would ply him with orange makeup. So that was her job, get him from point A to point B. So then as soon as he and Billy Bush see this woman, they start commenting on her. And they were also talking about Nancy O'Dell.
Yes.
Right. So until last night, I had never seen the whole unedited tape. I had only heard 10 seconds here and 5 seconds there. But I watched the whole tape yesterday. I can't believe that the guy in that tape who's talking about women the way he's talking about women is now the president. I mean, it's been hard for me to swallow that the whole time. But after hearing that tape, you just say to yourself, I wouldn't spend 2 seconds with a guy whose attitude toward women was like that, and he's the president of the United States right now.
It is kind of unbelievable.
It's unbelievable.
But the Billy Bush thing, he's this, you know, a guy who comes across celebrities, and he was just kind of humoring Donald Trump. So in my opinion, I don't know that he should have gotten fired over that. I don't like him, but, you know, I know a lot of people in the company of some celebrity or something, when they say something stupid or untoward, you just kind of go like,
that's the way he is.
And you're not going to take the time to go, well, sir, I think that's inappropriate, because then you lose your guest.
Right. Right.
So I don't know what he did wrong other than be sucky on TV.
I don't know if it warranted him losing his job, because he really was, he was placating Donald Trump.
He was.
And he, I mean, if you...
You're defending Billy B?
Yeah, it's hard to imagine, isn't it? I don't know that that was enough for him to lose his job.
I don't think it was, but I get it.
Yeah. But just just his attitude of trying to just suck up to Donald Trump at that point, I don't understand it. Like, you know how every once in a while you'll find yourself in a conversation with somebody who says something that you just don't agree with?
Yep.
The last thing I would do, and he knew he was on tape too, didn't he? He had to have known, didn't he?
I don't think so.
No?
I don't think either of them knew they were on tape. I could be wrong on that. But, I mean, I will admit there are sometimes somebody will say something, whether it be a relative or someone I respect, that I totally disagree with.
Yeah.
I'm not going to change their mind, so I sometimes are just like, oh, yeah, I hear you. Or just to move along.
Just to get on with it? Yeah. During my time doing stand-up comedy, what would happen a lot of times after the show is people would hang out and they would just want to say hi or thank you or whatever. So in several of those situations, people would say, hey, you tell jokes. I got a joke for you. You can use this if you want. Here's a little joke for you.
How many times did you get that, by the way?
A lot. Oh. It happened a lot. And in all honesty, I was happy to talk to whoever wanted to talk to me afterwards. But every once in a while, somebody's joke or story was so either racist or sexist or both, and I would walk away. I would just say, I don't need to hear this. I would just walk away. And the other guy would go, that guy was in the middle of a joke. He just walked away. I go, yeah, because if I react to that, I'm just as bad as that guy is. If he's telling me some racist joke and I'm laughing at it, I'm as bad, if not worse, than he is. So I don't need to hear it.
Well, you're right. I just, you know, sometimes people would say that, boy, that Bill Leff was rude, and whatever. I can live with that.
I'd be so much easier to live with being just referred to as being rude than... I'll never forget, there was a time I was in Champaign, Urbana, and the other comic and I, it was after the show, and he comes up and he puts his arms around both of us.
And how'd you like that?
Loved it.
Bill doesn't like what
give
people
me a bear,
touch him.
When you see me, please give me a bear hug
don't
immediately.
People do that now.
So he... One arm around me, one arm around the other guy, and then he starts out a joke, and the joke starts out with two, and then the N-word, and an Irishman, right? And I unbear-hug myself, and I walk, I don't need to hear, I'm not going to react positively to this.
You didn't even go like, oh, sorry, dude, I got a meeting backstage.
Yeah.
Or did you just...
I have a pretend phone call on planet Earth.
Because, I mean, even in this political world, there are people that I love and hang out with, friends, family members who will say some things that I totally disagree with.
Right.
And I just go, yeah, maybe, because I don't want to continue it. So,
all right. So what you just said is perfect. And here's why. As I'm watching this tape of Billy Bush with then just Donald Trump, now President Donald Trump, I'm thinking to myself, I interview, much like Billy Bush, I find myself in the company of celebrities, and sometimes we're on the air. Now, at that point, they weren't quite on the air. They were in a bus on the way to this soap opera studio. So I said, so if I'm in his position and Donald Trump is saying something to me that is just as ugly could be about women and his conquests of women, I would say to him either I'm not comfortable with this, or I would just stop talking to him. I wouldn't play along. Billy Bush so played along. Kept calling him the Don. It was awful.
Yeah, but he didn't want to lose Donald Trump. Had he said something against him, Donald would have said, I'm out of here.
Wouldn't it have been better to do... I know his assignment was spend the day with Donald Trump. I get that.
What an assignment.
But I would have just said to him, come on, Do you have a daughter? Do you have
a
wife?
Okay, and he would have left. So you would have been fired then without laughing at him. So either way, Billy Bush was doomed spending a day with Donald Trump.
Right. I guess so.
I know what you're saying, and I do believe in standing up for what's right. But at some point, you're not going to change someone's mind who's like that.
Right.
So instead of having
He didn't try to change his mind. He threw grease on the fire.
Right. I know.
You know, he made it even more incendiary.
He just didn't want him to walk out.
But he was reveling in the weirdness of that conversation of the, oh, there's a beautiful woman. What do we do when there's a beautiful woman? By, you know, it was just so uncomfortable.
It was uncomfortable.
And honestly, Donald Trump at that point, now we're going back a couple of years, he was married, one. He had two daughters. Would he like some guy talking about his daughters that way?
No, he wasn't thinking about that.
He talks about his own daughter that way.
That's common sense, Bill. Somebody who says something like that is not thinking of it personally. They're thinking of it.
I guess, but it's just so uncomfortable to listen to. And then you throw on the fact that he is now the president. You go, the president talks that way about women? It's terrible.
I agree with you.
It made me sick. It was just awful.
Billy Bush's plea to get back on TV makes me sick.
That also should
and
make
who,
you sick.
He calls himself Billy
Bushy.
B. I
he
thought
calls
he said Bushy.
Bush, in that clip, that long clip, he keeps referring to himself as Bushy.
But now it's Billy B?
Yeah.
Where did Bushy go?
I don't know.
And who's his dad?
He's a part of the Bush family.
Right, because he's looking like George W. a little to me. When I'm looking at the picture, I'm seeing a resemblance.
He's a cousin somehow.
I see a little resemblance.
Yeah. All right. A little bit of a break and then more show. If you want to jump in, you can at 312-981-7200. It's Bill and Wendy, WGN.
Can we hear Billy Bush again?
The song?
Yeah. Yes. Billy Bush was let go. From his days at Access Hollywood and the Today Show, was it too?
He was with the Today Show.
After his bus trip with Donald Trump.
Which happened years ago, by the way. For people who don't know the chronological order of this happened years ago, but the tape was just unearthed a couple months ago.
And he was a new reporter back then. He was supposed to handle, he was like Donald Trump's handler at that moment.
For the day, yeah.
Yeah, and he didn't want Donald Trump to walk off the set. Right or wrong, I get why he did it. I don't get why he posted this Instagram thing while getting a haircut.
Look at me. I'm Billy B. Trying to get back on TV. My hair's long and flat, and it makes me look fat. And I can't be. I'm Billy B. She's going to be me.
Was he drinking?
I don't think he was drinking.
Doesn't that kind of sound like it a little bit?
A little bit. I just, it's like a desperate.
It is desperate.
Plea/song for help. It's not good. It's not good. I apologize to anybody who was having lunch or breakfast during that.
And the hair doesn't make him look fat.
I don't think the hair makes him look fat, Bob.
I think he's wrong about that.
Yeah.
It's just he looks different without that TV makeup on. Maybe he should just wear it in real life.
Right.
I do.
Yeah.
Do we want to talk to some people?
Sure. Yeah. We're at 312-981-7200. Your thoughts.
Is this Toon?
Yes, it is. Good morning.
Hey, Toon. How's it going? Happy Friday.
Good morning. Hey, happy Friday. Hey, listen, two quick points. My real name is Chatonda Tillman Sr., and I can be reached at TheRealJohnQ.com. www.therealjohnq.com. I wrote John Q and Time Warner stole it.
Okay.
Who stole it from you?
The reason why I make that parallel is because, you know, when Bill Cosby, without the respect, because I don't know all of the facts of the case, but when Bill Cosby, a very influential figure in the media, was accused of transgressions, he lost his livelihood, basically. But then Donald Trump is proven to have assaulted and offended women. He is not a president.
Well, in both cases, in both Bill Cosby's case and Donald Trump's case, you can make an argument that neither one, it hasn't been proved 100%.
Yes.
I hate to say this, but it hasn't been proved that they've assaulted women. There's plenty of evidence in both cases.
Yeah, but I get it. So everybody turned on Bill Cosby because of these allegations, and not everybody turned on Donald Trump because of his.
And look how long Bill O'Reilly kept his job. These allegations have been surfacing over the last 3 or 4 years, and he was still allowed to keep his livelihood, sure. just like when I sued Time Warner over the film John Q, and the lawyers and the judges conspired against me. I understand how the media operates, and in all fairness to President Trump and to Bill O'Reilly, I don't know all the facts, so I can't speak out of turn. But what I am saying is that the media has a responsibility to be fair and to be just. And you can check my website out at therealjohnq.com because I understand how the media works and how the media portrays people unfairly. And I appreciate you guys.
Thanks, Tim.
Wait. So you say you wrote John Q, the movie that Denzel Washington was in, and someone stole your idea. Is that what you're saying?
Yes, ma'am. Time Warner. You can check it out at therealjohnq.com. I chose Denzel Washington for that part.
Wow.
Well, yeah, and Denzel promised me that he would cut me a check if I let him out the lawsuit, and he never kept his word.
Well, dude, that sucks.
That's not good at all. Well, we're sorry to hear that part of it, Toon, but thank you for the phone call.
Hey, thank you, guys, and I listen to you guys every morning. Y'all crack me up.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you, Toon.
Thank you.
I wish I came up with an idea that someone stole from me, because at least I could get credit for something.
That would be nice.
Just to say I did it.
Sure, I get that.
But I've done nothing. I had mentioned Billy Bush was just kind of playing along with Donald Trump because he didn't want him to walk off the set. I also might have mentioned that if Billy Bush said something and stood up to him, I feel he might have gotten fired by Access Hollywood because Donald Trump would have gotten mad and walked off the set. Lisa, you have a different view on this.
I disagree with that. It's about doing the right thing at the right time, sometimes even when no one's watching. I mean, I don't believe they knew they were being taped. That would be even worse, saying what they said, knowing. I mean, I think had he just not engaged or felt like you were saying, kept quiet or walked away, I mean, or even if Trump got mad, he wouldn't have been fired. I mean, that would have been a media circus of, oh, the guy does the right thing and stands up against misogyny. And he gets fired, you know. I think it contributes to one of the reasons the country is so divided, because most of America can't believe how many people could still vote for him and look past this. And, you know, so clear misogyny, racism, all of that played a role in this. And, you know, he still should have done and said the right thing at that time.
There's a moment in this tape, and I don't know if you got to hear the whole tape, Lisa, but I listened to the whole thing yesterday, where Trump is talking about he sees this woman who works for the soap opera, and he wants to quickly get some mints, because he explains that when he sees beautiful women, he just starts kissing them, and he can't control it. It's just what happens when he sees beautiful women.
Right. So, and I mean, full disclosure, I have to say I also run a rape crisis center, a domestic violence program.
Yeah.
And one of the other pieces of this was so disturbing, wasn't just what they said, but then they exit the bus to greet this woman, and that was even more creepy.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Just the image of what they were doing and saying, and this objectification of her, and really openly talking about a form of sexual assault.
Yeah.
And then showing that, it was just horrible.
I agree with you.
And that guy's the president. He wasn't right, at the time, but right. He became the president. It makes it even weirder.
Right.
Awful.
Very, very sad.
Lisa, thank you.
Thank you for calling, Lisa. Good luck with your job, too. We appreciate what you do.
Thank you.
We didn't ask Lisa if she had written any Denzel Washington movies. Many of our callers at some point have written Denzel Washington movies. I have not. You have not. But
I'm going to start.
You should start writing some scripts. We must take a break. It's time for the news, and then there's a lot more show. Bill and Wendy, WGN.
Thank you, Bob. It's Bill Leff. It's Wendy Snyder. And boy, do I love television, and I love talking television with TVShowPatrol.com's Kurt Wagner. And you've brought a special guest with you.
I did. Remember Amory from MyTakeOnTV.com?
Well, Amory Cunningham?
That was roughly a year ago, Kurt.
It was about a year ago.
It was about a year ago.
Because yeah, it was C2E2 last time.
Oh, you're in for C2E2?
I am, yes.
Now, when two television critics get together, is it all friendly, or is there fighting? Is there some contention? What goes on when you guys are
No, it's all good.
You see with us. On most shows?
With us, we agree on a lot of what we watch, so there's not.
And
yeah.
If we don't, we just know the
What's
other
one's
the wrong.
One show that you know that one of you will like and the other will despise?
Pretty much anything that's from, like, Europe, Kurt worships and I don't watch. Oh. It's not that I don't like it. I just don't.
And she likes a lot of the comedies I don't like.
And he doesn't laugh. Oh. So.
Who of you likes The Mick?
I love The Mick.
I do too. I think that so is good. The best show on Fox.
Yeah.
Who likes I Dream of Jeannie?
I used to watch I Dream of Jeannie.
Yeah, everybody
I've watched
did.
Reruns.
Yeah, all right. That's enough. All right, this is good news. This isn't just good news, but this is the news that Wendy has been dreaming about for about a year now. Please give Wendy this news, because just prepare for the best.
X-Files is coming back again to Fox for 10-episode season 11. Well, they're calling it an event series.
With Mulder and Scully, the originals?
Yes.
Yes.
They made all the schedules work out, and they're going to film this summer, and it'll be on the schedule for next year, 2017-18. So probably in January.
Prayers have been answered.
My prayers truly have been answered with that. I loved it originally, saw every single episode, still have them all on VHS. If someone wants to come by the house, we can watch them all.
That'd be a fun evening.
You still have a player that
no,
works,
so. Bring a VCR when you come, please. But then the new episodes were very good.
We saw different episodes, Ben. I thought it was terrible last year.
There was one that I wasn't that crazy about, but I liked the majority. They weren't as good as the originals, but I don't know. Maybe it's nostalgia.
The last episode last year was one of the worst things I've seen on television in I don't know how long. It was just so amateurishly written and acted, which is hard to believe. But I can't remember the last one. I think I'm out. It was the end of the world episode.
Yeah, that was kind of hokey.
It was awful.
Yeah. You're not going to watch the new ones?
It was so bad. That episode was so bad. I'll give it a one episode. Like, if the first episode is good, I'll stick with it.
They'll try it out.
You know what I heard, though? I was seeing a lot of, with the news that came out yesterday, that people are championing for Chris Carter to not be involved.
To have
the creator not be involved at all because
Based on the last six that they did and how he was too involved. Yeah.
Like a lot of people think his...
Yeah, a lot of people think it's him that... That's
his creativity has fizzled.
Well, exactly.
You know what? Yeah. You could parallel it with George Lucas with the Star Wars movies, that sometimes the creator becomes like an almost Dr. Frankenstein and does things that...
Well, it might be that, it's just too precious for him. You
Maybe
know,
like, Disney should buy the X-Files then.
That'd be fine. Yeah. All right, let's see if that
happens. And if you can't wait until the show... I was going to tell you guys this last time, but we didn't meet last week.
Yeah.
Audible Studios is putting out, starting, I think, July 18th, a audio movie. They're calling it like an audio movie series, and it's X-Files, The Cold Cases. They got the talent to do the voices, and so it's they gave me a clip, so I put an audio clip on my site that you can go and listen to. And that's July 18th, and you can pre-order it now, I guess, on the site. But
so TVShowPatrol.com has that information.
And I think those cold cases, I think they are sort of the lead up to
the new season.
Oh, no, to the last season, to the six episodes.
Oh, prequel. Why don't people do things in order, for God's sakes?
I don't know.
I think that's what they are, but they could be a mixture. They're based on some of the books that were written after the original series.
I read those.
All right. Yeah. Did you read those?
Mm-hmm. And the comic book.
I'm not surprised.
That's my Star Wars.
Yeah, yeah. All right, we must take a quick break. We'll come back. More television talk with Kurt Wagner from TVShowPatrol.com and Amory Cunningham from MyTakeOnTV.com. If you have any questions or comments, 312-981-7200. It's Bill and Wendy, WGN. Kurt Wagner's here from TVShowPatrol.com. He has brought with him his friend Amory Cunningham. She's the TV critic over at MyTakeOnTV.com. You'd think they'd be fighting, but no, they seem to be getting along. We talked about this a little bit yesterday. Do either of you know about this impending writer's strike that could cripple all of show business if it takes place?
Yeah, I've read about it, and I've read sort of equal arguments on both sides that it will or will not happen and why it will or will not happen, but I'm not sure if it will or will not
happen. And the issue, again, is writers getting compensation. You know, in the early days, if you were a writer, you would worry about your movie or your television show, and that's where it started and ended, but now there's all sorts of other ways to see their product, and they want to be compensated for it.
Exactly. Yeah. And, you know, the part about that it won't happen is that the producers and studios, some people say they won't let it happen because right now at peak TV time, you know, we have all this stuff coming out, all these shows, and everybody is just wanting more and more and more new shows. So they want to try to find a reason not to stop that whole thing at the start.
Yeah. Well, let's see what happens. It's coming to a deadline soon, right? It's like in a week or so.
Yeah, yeah, they vote soon.
All right. You're about to interview, both of you, I believe, some of the cast of Blacklist. They're in Chicago right now.
Yes. They'll be at C2E2 tomorrow.
Yes. Yeah.
So they're doing a panel discussion about the show. The show's been very good lately. It came back yesterday. It had about a month or so off, but it's been very good.
Yeah, last night's two-hour thing I thought was really good.
We had started to sit down and watch, and we said, we're only going to watch the first hour. And then by the time the second hour was done, it was like, oh, I'm glad we did the whole thing.
Yeah. And you get to meet a character named Mr. Kaplan. Wendy, I know
you
don't
watch. Was it ridiculous?
It's not David Kaplan. If I told you there was a guy on the show, The Blacklist, Mr. Kaplan... Describe Mr. Kaplan to us. What do you think Mr. Kaplan would look like?
Glasses, a hair like Larry Fine.
Mm-hmm.
That's all I got.
It's a woman.
Oh!
Mr. Kaplan's
with
a
glasses.
Man. With glasses.
Yeah. I don't know if the hair's like Larry Fine's.
But a great character. There's a lot of, in The Blacklist, aside from James Spader, there's a lot of secondary characters, and they're all really good.
Yeah, they are.
And they're a nice job.
Very interesting. And you get... The whole second hour was this huge backstory, like Mr. Kaplan's backstory, mm-hmm. which totally fascinated
it
me.
Really,
I was
yeah.
like not expecting a lot of the stuff that I learned.
So you get to meet her, the actress who's from Chicago, who plays Mr. Kaplan. And then
Susan Blomert.
Susan Blomert. And then Harry Lennox was supposed to be at this, but he is no longer a part of this.
Right,
right?
He couldn't come. And then Amir Ayerson, who plays Aram.
Aram, yeah. Mm-hmm. Really good show.
And John Bokenkamp, the creator, will be there.
A couple of other things we need to discuss before you guys leave. Number one is Deadwood, which used to be on HBO, ended abruptly. Yes. And they said when Deadwood ended, don't panic. We've got other stories in the works that down the line in a year or so will bring you more Deadwood stories. Don't panic. But it's been about 7 or 8 years since that happened. But now Ian McShane, who was the best villain on Deadwood, says the script is done. It's ready. It's now the ball's in HBO's court. When can we expect more Deadwood? Is that a year or so away, do you think, or what?
He's the kind of guy who doesn't care what he tells to people. Like, he'll, you know, he gave spoilers away for Game of Thrones. Like, he really tells it as it is. So if there is a script, he's got it. I'd assume within a year or two, we should see something.
Now, what about this, though? Almost everybody who was on Deadwood is working elsewhere now.
Well, even he is. He has that big American right. Gods coming
yeah.
up on Stars.
So will that hurt their chances of getting everybody
it
back?
It would be schedules again,
yeah,
you know, like the X-Files deal was, that they just have to align everybody's schedules.
I'm sure it would be some big event, couple, maybe two large movie-type things instead of a real... series. But
I just hope it happens. I loved every minute of Deadwood. It was so good.
I think it was ahead of its time.
Wasn't it?
I really do.
It's you know what it did is it almost ruined any other TV westerns for me because that one is just so good that anything else you watch western-wise just pales in comparison.
And I think Westworld doing well.
Oh, Westworld was
real
good,
I think doing
too.
Well now kind of
sparked
leads,
that, maybe.
Yeah, sparks it more interest in Deadwood to come back.
Yep. What are some of the highlights, TV highlights, coming up over the next week or 10 days? What should we be watching
for? Today's big on the streaming side. Mm-hmm. Girl Boss on Netflix, which I thought was really funny. It's this half-hour comedy. It's not a sitcom, but it's based on a book by this woman who, in her 20s in the mid-2000s, was sort of couldn't figure out what she wanted to do with her life. And then she started this she started buying really cheap vintage clothes from stores that didn't know they had, like, treasures.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, they sold, like, a shirt or a jacket that she ended up selling for $800.
Wow.
They sold to her for, like, $5. And so she started this online business. She started her own sort of vintage store on eBay or wherever and became this big, you know, boss
kind
of herself.
Entrepreneur.
But it's this funny series.
This is Kate Cannon, who used to write for 30 Rock. This is her work, right?
Yeah, she created this. And
Charlize Theron involved?
Charlize is a executive producer. I talked to this German guy as the executive producer and director. I talked to him yesterday. I haven't posted yet. But it's very interesting. He's like the only guy that was involved in the creation of the show.
It's all women besides
that? It's all women besides him, yeah. And it was I was not expecting it to be as funny as it was, but it is hilarious. And it's sort of subtle, I guess, but or subversive kind of.
And where can people see this, Girl Boss?
On TV. On Netflix.
On Netflix, sorry.
And that went live today. That's
on TV. Don't look at your microwave. You won't see it. You got to go to your TV.
There's a bunch of other stuff. The new Thunderbirds Are Go season is on Amazon.
Oh, I'm
today.
In. All right.
What about Preacher? I binge watched all of it. That's my new favorite show.
Have you seen the new trailer they did? That's pretty funny. That's coming later this summer.
Late May. 23rd.
Can't wait.
Yeah, the whole new season. And the first season just went up on some streaming site. I can't remember which one.
It's on Hulu.
Mm. On Hulu, okay.
And tell us about Great News, too, because that's Tina Fey's new show.
Andrea Martin and Briga Helin. So it's basically what happens when you work with your mother later in life.
It looks good.
I was very surprised. Everybody's really funny. Nicole Richie, to me, was hilarious.
And really?
You know, I would not expect that from her, but she plays this kind of dim-witted anchor with John Michael Higgins, who's just dim-witted in his own way. And Briga Helin is the producer behind the scenes, and her mom gets involved and becomes kind of an assistant to John Michael Higgins, and they have to battle it out. And it's just kind of what happens when your mom's around all the time.
And that mom is Andrea Martin,
and
right?
She's just my mom. It's really funny. I think it will do well for. I don't like how NBC's rolling out all of their comedies like back to back for 3 weeks and then being done with it.
Yeah.
Because I think it deserves better. They did that with Trial and Error. They're doing that with this. And I think that it's something that we haven't seen in a while.
Are they
it's
doing
really
like
funny.
Two episodes a night?
Yeah.
Oh.
I have another question since we're talking about funny people writing shows. Melissa McCarthy's new show, is it Nobody's?
Nobody's.
What are your thoughts on that?
I haven't watched much of it beyond the trailers and the things, but these people are very funny. And she and Ben, her husband,
is she always on it, or did she
I
just
think
occasionally?
She does, like, probably 5-minute things here and there throughout. Oh. So she's featured more than I thought she would be.
Yeah.
But it looks really
funny. People are saying it's hilarious.
I have not watched a minute of that.
Well, guys, thank you both for being here. Greatly appreciated. Enjoy the C2E2 show. It's Kurt Wagner from TVShowPatrol.com. It's Amory Cunningham from MyTakeOnTV.com. We'll take a quick break and then more show for you. It's Bill and Wendy, WGN.
I have a difficult time understanding pirate talk, if you want to know the truth, but we're going to try and find out a little bit more. They slur.
I don't want to say all pirates do, but some pirates do slur, sure.
Casey Wallace is a host of the series Ghosts of the Caribbean, Dead People Do Tell Tales. Casey is a medium that spent months on the Bay Islands of Honduras, notorious for pirates in the 17th and 18th centuries, communicating with pirates that lived and died during those years. So we're going to find out more about pirates. How are you, Casey?
Wonderful, Wendy. Thank you so much for having me this morning.
Absolutely. Now, Pirates of the Caribbean, Dead Men Tell No Tales, the new movie is coming out. Is it next month already? We would like some fun pirate facts.
Absolutely. Don't we all love fun pirate facts?
Can I just tell you, I think it would have been really fun to hang with pirates.
You think so? Because they were always pillaging and marauding.
Well, that side of them I don't like, but they looked like they really knew how to party on the ship, and women didn't have to dress up for the most part.
You know, mostly women were naked, so you're right.
How about that? Wendy's in.
Out, as the case may be.
Why do we have this fascination of pirates? Everybody loves pirates, but like I said, they did a lot of bad things, the pirates.
They did, and I think really it comes with, of course, Hollywood's depiction of the glamorization of their life, being very flamboyant and colorful in their characteristics and in their application, which is true for many of them. But like what you just said, many, many more of them were very, very treacherous people, and they committed horrible crimes. But we like to try to stay a little bit lighthearted on the subject matter, don't we?
We should, do.
Yeah.
And I loved each and every one of the Pirates of the Caribbean movie. I'm not 100% sure I saw the last one, but each one I've seen, I've loved. And is that how pirates looked, the way they were depicted in those movies?
Some of them were. Yeah, that's correct. Some of them came from a lot of the British soldier ships. And so a lot of them came with, you know, flamboyant uniforms and then kind of shred them up a little bit and created new looks for themselves. And, you know, just the time period itself was very, very colorful.
Go through some of the myths with us, Casey. For instance, like if you know any pirate stories, they were always burying their treasures. Is that something pirates actually did? Did they bury their treasures all the time?
They absolutely did. We found lots and lots of history of treasures being found, currently being found still on the islands and on the mainland. And, of course, obviously ships have gone down with lots and lots of booty and treasure that are still buried in them. But, yes, they did bury their treasures, yes.
What about parrots and monkeys? Anytime you see parrots or monkeys in a movie, you go, oh, there must be pirates nearby because there's a parrot and a monkey. Do they have those as pets?
Well, we would tell you that they transported them on the ships as cargo. You know, that still goes on today in the Bay Island areas. They still, unfortunately, steal these animals from one tropical island and transport them to another to sell them. So they were part of the cargo more than anything else. And if they escaped, there really was nowhere for them to go. So they kind of hung out on the ships and, you know, became friendly with the crew.
Was it a rule among pirates that if you had a gang of pirates, one guy must have a peg leg?
I'm sorry for him, Casey.
I'm just curious.
Right. But, you know, limb missing was a common thing. It really was.
Oh, no.
You know, these pirates were drunk. They were drug-induced. They were stumbling on the ship. And
they didn't have Obamacare back then to take care of the wounds?
Nope.
Obamacare. I don't think that would have helped him anymore, but, you know, we'll leave that out of it.
All right, what about the R? And is it ARG or is it just R?
Right. You know, I couldn't tell you. In communicating with these ghosts, that's not exactly the dialogue that I got. I think that's just more of a Hollywood theme. In our program where we speak to these ghosts on Ghosts of the Caribbean, we really get a lot of interesting stories about their personal lives and their personal struggles during that time.
What sort of struggles would pirates have?
You know, a lot of them were kidnapped. A lot of them were taken. Young children were taken aboard these ships, and they spent a lifetime either trying to get back home or trying to communicate back to family in some manner as to what happened to them.
And there were men pirates and women pirates, because most pirates in movies are women, or are men, I'm sorry, except the ones on Showtime. I saw once. Are they mostly men?
No. Well, we would say that the higher percentage is male, but you would be amazed at how many women disguised themselves and how many women took to the seas over revenge of their man being taken down by the British colonies. And a lot of the pirates were pretty feminine. You know, they were very, again, this was a place for them to kind of be allowed to show their flamboyancy.
Casey Wallace on the line with us, and her upcoming series, Ghosts of the Caribbean. I notice you're saying Caribbean, but in the movie they say Caribbean. Does it matter which way to say it? Which do the pirates prefer?
You know, the Americans just hack up everything, don't we? It just depends really on who you speak to. I don't think there really is a preference.
So you are a medium, and I'm more of a large, quite honestly. But as you were going around, which islands were the Bay Islands in Honduras? What did you, as you were communicating with these spirits or from pirates from the beyond, what surprised you about pirates? Did they have a softer side at all?
Some of them were very, very intelligent. That was amazing. It was, some of their stories were very personal and very, very intimate. Very much like people today. And that was surprising. It was really interesting to get into the scope of their lives and what they thought of and what they pained and suffered from. It was quite a connection, actually. And I think that the viewers would be quite surprised by the depth of some of these characters.
Where can we see Ghosts of the Caribbean?
Oh, you can see Ghosts of the Caribbean on Amazon and Vimeo. You could just Google Ghosts of the Caribbean. It will take you right into programming. And you can also see us on Facebook, Ghosts of the Caribbean. Everything's got the video links on it. You can catch previews and you can purchase that viewing. Also at CaseyandGrad.com.
Casey, which pirate would you say was the most cutthroat and deadly? Was there one pirate in particular that you just say, even among pirates, that guy was trouble?
Well, actually, it was a female pirate.
Really?
Anne and Bonnie, they were a pair of female pirates. And, man, there is nothing like women scorned, let me tell you that.
Sure.
They had a fleet of black ships with red sails, and they were just absolutely seeking revenge for the men that the British colony had tortured and murdered.
Wow.
Are there really ghost ships out there coming to attack people?
Well, what we can tell you is this. As we found ships that had sank, I could see the image of the ship sitting on top of the water, which is a good way of how we found the ship. So while the ship sits underneath the water in what we would call modern-day state, there is a spirit and an energy of its previous existence. So depending on what you're looking for or what you believe or perhaps what you feel, you can get a good scope of what their life was on the ship and what they're experiencing now as their bodies are buried underneath the water.
Casey, in movies, anytime you see one pirate ship in the sea and then another pirate ship is coming, they're always at odds. They want to fight each other. Was that the way it actually was, or were there partnerships and alliances?
They didn't have partnerships and alliances, only if a captain had a fleet. And Henry Morgan had the largest fleet back then. But other than that, no, they were at odds, absolutely. Always fighting for territory and always fighting for their treasures.
And that guy you just referred to, that's the Captain Morgan that you see in the liquor aisle, right?
Yeah, that's the island we went, and we did a whole series, a couple of episodes, on Fort Morgan Key, which it was an island that he put one of his forts on off the Bay Island of Roatan. We got some incredible programming there with him. So he is an extraordinary pirate.
He was real. But Captain Lafitte from Captain Crunch, he's not real.
Lafitte is real. Yeah,
he is real.
He's a French pirate, so yes.
Oh.
Finally, we have a texter who has a really interesting question that we'd like to share with you. This texter writes, I always heard pirates wore earrings and kept jewelry, so when they died, the jewelry would be removed to cover the cost of their funerals. Hmm. The more extravagant the jewelry, the more extravagant the burial or funeral. Is this true?
Well, that's a good question. I can tell you that I didn't receive information on that. Mostly these pirates were just cast overboard, to be honest with you.
Yeah, that's the cheap burial. Just throw them, sea burial.
Throw them in the drink, Wendy.
Yeah, I can tell you why they wore earrings. The reason that they wore earrings was it was an acupressure point on the earlobe that helped them from getting seasick.
Oh, wow.
That's totally true.
That makes sense.
Interesting. Well, thank you very much. I can't wait to see this. I'm going to look for it on Amazon. You can go to Ghosts of the Caribbean on their Facebook page. Also, CaseyandBrad.com, Brad being your husband. And he had a near-death experience, correct?
Absolutely. This is that crazy story led to all of these types of communication. So we invite everybody to go to the website. They can catch that story and hopefully catch our programming.
Excellent. Thank you very much.
Thank you for being so generous with your time today.
Bye, Casey. Have a good weekend.
You too. Bye-bye.
You are not allowed to talk in interviews anymore.
I had some pirate questions. I didn't bring up Somali pirates. I didn't bring up the Pittsburgh Pirates. I was very good about that.
All right.
I had questions about their pitching.
Nice restraint.
Okay. We'll take a quick break, and then there's more show, believe it or not. Bill and Wendy, WGN. We had a winner earlier
for
the Bailey's Harbor Yacht Club Resort. Tony from Shanahan will be visiting the resort with somebody he cares deeply about.
Maybe you.
It might be me. I think we have a good time.
You've always wanted to get back there.
Tony always says to me, when are we just going to spend some us time? And I always say, you're busy, I'm busy, this is our chance. So yeah, we're going to have a good time in a weekend coming up soon. Did you see this passenger? Air travel has had an interesting couple of weeks. Because you got people being dragged off of planes. You got scorpions falling from the ceiling of airplanes.
I miss the scorpion story. The only time I heard it was Weekend Update. Colin Jost did a joke about it.
Yeah.
I missed that somewhere along the line.
Also on a United Airlines flight. I don't remember where they were going, but at some point during the flight, a scorpion fell from the ceiling onto a passenger.
Did it bite them? Or sting them, I guess.
It didn't say that it did.
That still would freak me out. I meant a scorpion drink.
Right. I meant the German band. I don't want a real
Where's Lars?
Right. Well, now listen to this story. And I watched the video last night trying to figure out exactly what went wrong here. But what you had was a passenger. Here's the story from the internet. A passenger flying into Kansas City International Airport is facing a citation after attacking an American Airlines pilot. You can see the video. It's awful. Surveillance shows that the passenger and the pilot were both getting off the American Airlines flight just after 6 o'clock on April the 12th. The passenger, Edward Foster, put his phone in front of the pilot, who then swatted it away. I'll explain what he was doing. He didn't like that when everybody was leaving the plane, that the pilot, who was not the actual pilot on the flight, but he was a pilot flying on the airline to get in.
He was a passenger on the flight.
Yeah, he was a passenger. So this guy, Mr. Foster, Edward Foster, was trying to get around him, like once the plane landed. You know, you go through that that tunnel kind of thing for a while, and then you're in the, and the pilot didn't seem to want to let him in front for whatever reason. So the passenger then takes out his phone, and he's trying to take a picture of his ID tag, and the pilot wants none of that, so he keeps swatting the phone out of the way. And then Mr. Foster just goes nuts. He starts punching him and kicking him and stuff. It's not pretty.
All right, I see both sides of it. First of all, you don't have to step aside to let someone through the jetway. Is that
you don't
what that's
have
called?
To.
And, you know, there are people sometimes that are unaware that you're trying to get around them.
Right.
And even though you go really loudly, they still don't hear you and move.
You can't tell by the video because there's two videos that came out. There's the first one that shows this passenger, Mr. Foster, just pushing and shoving and punching at the pilot. But then they unearthed other footage from other security cams. So you kind of see that this has been going on for 45 seconds by that point, almost a minute. And it does look like the guy is doing everything in his power to get around him. And for whatever reason, the pilot's just not letting him go around him. I don't know if it's intentional or not. But it, as frustrating as it is, if you're the passenger, you just go, well, I'm going to have to wait an extra couple minutes.
Exactly.
I wouldn't start punching him.
And this guy looks like he has a mission. He's wearing a blue shirt, and he's following the pilot, like walking really quickly behind him to get the picture of his name tag.
Yes.
So he was on a mission. He was pissed.
Yes.
You knew something was going to happen.
You knew something was going to happen, but you would have thought it would have been a much more equitable closing than these guys duking it out in the airport. And it's really, you know what's really strange is, I don't know about this particular airport in Kansas City, but like if this happened at O'Hare or
they'd
Midway,
be arrested.
Yeah, there's security guys everywhere. In this one, it just keeps going on and going on and going on.
And please be honest, there are cell phones everywhere. And what if somebody came up to you closely in your personal space button bubble?
Like, oh, say, I have a space button. You were right the first time. I do have a space button.
But say 3 feet is like your personal space bubble. So if someone penetrates that 3-foot zone and is holding a camera up to your face or something, I'm sorry. I'd hit it away. I'd be like, come on.
It depends on the moment. But step one would be,
what are you
could
doing?
Could you please not do that? And then if it got deeper, I guess it would get deeper. But yeah, I would say peacefully, I'd appreciate it if you wouldn't do that.
Or I will break your arm or phone.
Yeah. And so, I have a space button, so I would press that, and then he would be ejected into space.
Life with Bill Leff. There's your miniseries right
there.
But
you've seen the video.
It's terrible.
Isn't it strange, though, that nobody really comes to break it up? They just let these guys fight.
And the pilot pushes him back. It's I guess why would you stand there and take it from someone?
And then the guy, Edward Foster, follows him like he's leaving the airport, and this guy just keeps going after him. He doesn't give up.
He looked like he was ranting and raving, so it looked like he was going to start something.
Yes, yes. Not good. Good news for everybody. John Hansen is filling in for Steve on the Wintrust Business Lunch. We'll find out what John has next. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.